I speak to you in the name of Jesus, ascended into glory. Amen. Once upon a time, there were two candidates for a life-altering choice. Only one was needed. Both of the proposed candidates satisfied the requirements. They both were siblings of the woman who needed a kidney. They both met the blood and tissue match that would lead to a successful transplant. Both of the candidates were willing to be chosen. And in a moment that would forever change three lives, the older sister was chosen to donate a kidney. Thus, in 1979, I was relieved not to be chosen. It is not that I was unwilling. I had traveled from my home north of Green Bay, Wisconsin, down to Madison to have the elaborate blood tests taken. I had searched my heart, talked with my wife, and I was ready. Yet when the lots were cast, it was my sister Judy who was chosen. So she journeyed to Minneapolis, where she met my younger sister Ruth, and on a day of unrivaled generosity, Judy's kidney was taken from her and given to Ruth. And I was left to get on with my life and watch my sons grow up. I went to law school, my wife and I turned 50 and gray, and God blessed me with fine health. Eventually, I found my way to Buffalo, New York, where I settled in as Dean of St. Paul's Cathedral. Until just before Christmas in 1996, I received a letter from my sister Ruth, wishing us happy holidays, and asking if I would be willing to be tested again as a possible kidney donor. After almost 20 years, Judy's gift had exhausted its blessing, and Ruth needed another kidney. I suppose I always knew that my time might come. I always knew that I might be chosen. It was a Tuesday morning in Lent that I received a phone call from Ruth telling me that I was the best match of her remaining siblings. Again, I searched my heart and soul. I talked with my wife. I prayed, and my decision came quickly. In June 1997, my family and I traveled to Portland, Maine, where after a celebratory lobster dinner at Captain Jack's Lobster House, receiving the laying on of hands and prayers for healing at St. Luke's Cathedral, we prepared for another transplant. On the next day, I arrived at Maine Medical Center, where I was quickly divested of my civilian status. I was registered, plopped in a wheelchair, taken to my room, given a stylish backless gown to wear, and gotten ready for surgery the next morning. Early on Tuesday morning, I was wheeled into the operating room, where after opening a 15-inch incision on my side and back, the surgeons severed my left kidney from the aorta, lifted it out, placed it in a stainless steel bowl, wheeled it into the neighboring operating room, where it was placed in the body of my sister, connected up, and began to function. Have you ever been chosen for something important? Or worry that you might be chosen? Or glad you were chosen? Or terrified that you were chosen? Joseph, called Barsabbas, and Matthias must have felt all those emotions as they stood with the believers in Christ and listened to Peter making clear the need to choose a person to replace Judas. This replacement person had to meet two requirements. He had to have been with the apostolic band and Jesus all during Jesus' ministry, through his death and resurrection, up until the time that he was taken from them. And this person must also become a witness with the rest to Jesus' resurrection. Do you suppose this was a privilege? Something they had aspired to all their lives? Something akin to being drafted first in the NFL draft? Being appointed to the cabinet of an incoming president, being made partner in a law firm, or being elected bishop? The leaders of their band had already been arrested and interrogated by the temple authorities in Jerusalem. They were on thin ice with Romans, surely, given the trouble their master had caused, the spectacle of his death, and the disturbing reports of his being alive again. But once upon a time, there were two candidates for a life-altering choice. This time, the decision was made with the same earnest prayer with which I considered giving my kidney. The apostolic community prayed to God, saying, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And then they cast lots. My sister Judy and I did not actually cast lots. Maybe we should have. But at the end of this prayerful discernment, Matthias was chosen. The lot fell upon him, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Do you think his life was changed? Do you wonder if he remembered Jesus' prayer words at the Last Supper, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one"? Do you suppose that Matthias, now included in the leadership of the fledgling Christian community, felt comforted by the lot that fell upon him? We don't know. We don't really know much about the fate of the 12. There are ancient memories of Peter and Paul being killed during the persecutions of Nero the Crazy in Rome. There are devotional memories of others of the 12 meeting sudden death or disorder. There is the ancient tradition that John, the beloved disciple, lived to old age. But of Matthias, we have little real to report. We have to believe that God was with him after the choice changed his life. We have to trust that God protected him, kept him within divine love, and guided him as he was sent into the world. The truth is that all of us have been chosen to follow Jesus and to bear witness to his resurrection. All of us have been chosen to follow Jesus and bear witness to his resurrection. The lot has fallen to us all. When God called us by name, filled us with life, raised our hearts to joyful communion with him, and sent us into the world. And now I ask you, is it worth it to have been chosen? Is being a chosen one cause for rejoicing? Is it a blessing to have been chosen? More than once I have dwelt on those imponderables since that day in June 1997 when my kidney was ripped from my body and gently placed in the body of my sister. As I realized after this transaction was completed and I had returned to normal life, I was not motivated to donate my kidney because Ruth and I were so terribly close. We had a competitive, combative family of siblings. We were not terribly close. If the measure of blessing had to be personal preference and closeness, our organ exchange would never have happened. But Jesus made proximity and need the measure, not closeness, not preference. Ruth was my sister. I was healthy. My kidney was healthy. She needed a kidney, and I could live well enough with one. In time, the pain of surgery faded in my memory. Only the scar along my side and back remains fixed, as if to say, once life was taken from you and given to another. But love and sorrow come wrapped together so often. Joy and anxiety are woven like a blanket around us. For 8 years, Ruth lived with my kidney resting in her side. With decreasing success, she defended against skin cancers, pneumonia, E. coli infections, heart disease, and the ravages of diabetes. Until the December day, my youngest sister called to say that Ruth was in the Maine Medical Center and I ought to go to Maine. There would be no third transplant. Ruth went home with hospice, and on a bright, sunny January day, under the brilliant, high Maine winter sky, my sister Ruth died. With her sisters there to hold her, wash her body for burial, and my parents holding on to their grief and sorrow. In the 15 years since she died, I have often wondered if I'm glad to have been chosen. I remember that in the quiet of that Tuesday night in Lent, I discovered that blessing is a gift that must be given away. Blessing is a gift that must be given away. The poet Raymond Carver wrote these words near the end of his life. And did you get what you wanted from this life? Even so, I did. And what did you want? To feel myself beloved. To feel myself beloved on the earth. I've always wondered if Matthias was glad to have been chosen. Did he feel beloved of God? In the years that passed after that momentous day of his being chosen, did he feel blessed to be a witness to the resurrection? If sorrow and suffering were his lot, was it worth his life? My friend Alan Jones, the former dean of Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, once wrote, "The gospel proclaims to all, you are loved and therefore liberated to love in return. We can love because we are loved. We all enjoy an inalienable dignity that frees us to bless. The circle is complete. We not only enjoy God, but we are enjoyed by God in a cycle of blessing." To know blessing is to know God. To be blessed is to be chosen. And to be chosen is to speak blessing to the world. I know I found that to be true. I'm sure Matthias found it to be true in the years following his being chosen. If he was called to suffer for his faith, it was a blessing. If he was able to strengthen the church, it was a blessing. According to one tradition, Matthias preached the gospel in Ethiopia. Another tells of his being stoned and beheaded in Jerusalem. Still another allows him to live to old age. But whatever happened to him, his life was changed on the day he was chosen. It will be the same for you. If you surrender to God's choosing and trust that by Jesus' prayer on the night before his death, we will be kept by God in all things. After nearly 15 years, Ruth's immediate memory has faded a bit. It's always like that. In spite of photographs, videos, and all the mementos of a life well lived. But she carried my kidney into the life beyond this life. So I have gone ahead, so to speak. And who knows what reconciliation awaits us for the sorrows and love of this life. Near the end of his life, C.S. Lewis wrote, "And once again, after who knows what eons of silence and the dark, the birds will sing, and the waters flow, and the lights and shadows move across the hills, and the faces of our friends will laugh upon us with amazed recognition." It is God's original blessing that called me to let go of my kidney. It was God's original blessing that caused the lot to fall upon Matthias. It is God's original blessing that has called to you and chosen you. As always, the blessing comes woven with sacrifice and suffering. But rejoice that you have been chosen. It is a sacrificial blessing that comes like a gift in the night, like a kidney taken and a life restored. It is a sacrificial blessing that comes unbidden from God, like the casting of lots and bearing witness to the world. Amen.